Hey lovers, and welcome to TSPN. We are three shows into Taylor's six show run in Singapore, and we are going to take it to Ty so that he can recap those shows for us.
The Eras Tour in Singapore has officially started, and here's everything you might have missed if you weren't able to watch the shows during weekend one. Beginning earlier in the week, the presenting sponsor of the Eras Tour, Marina Bay Sands, made sure to welcome Swifties into Singapore with every way they could think of, from art installations in and around the city to different shows that they provided free to the public. And thousands of Swifties got to enjoy not only those art installations, but thanks to work done by the City of Singapore and Marina Bay Sands, they were even able to gather outside the stadium in order to listen and dance along. Of course, with all of that amazing celebration does come a little bit of bittersweet news, as this is Sabrina Carpenter's final stop on the Eras Tour. But she's making sure to have a good time while she's there, as alongside the over 300,000 fans that traveled to National Stadium this past weekend, we also saw Barry Cogan, who's rumored to be Sabrina's boyfriend. Of course, he wasn't the only celebrity in the building, as we also saw Lisa from Blackpink and world-renowned drag queen Taylor Sheesh attend the shows. It was at those shows that Taylor Swift gave us another amazing set of mashup songs, starting on night one with the guitar playing Mine and Starlight, moving to the piano to play I Don't Want to Live Forever and Dress, and then on night two playing Long Story Short and The Story of Us on the guitar with Clean and Evermore on the piano. Finally, finishing off the weekend with Foolish One and Tell Me Why on the guitar and This Love and Call It What You Want on the piano. Of course, those brand new mashups aren't the only thing that Taylor revealed to us this past weekend in Singapore, as she also let everyone know there's a brand new variant of the Tortured Poets Department, this one being called the Black Dog, and just like those others, was only available for a limited time on her website. All that being said, make sure you're back here next week as the Eras Tour completes its final shows for not only Singapore, but all of Southeastern Asia. And you might want to tune into those, as there's a rumor going around that there will be a very special NFL guest. That said, if you miss those shows, make sure you come visit with me back in May when the Eras Tour returns in Paris, France.
All right. Thank you, Ty, so much, as always. If you guys don't follow Ty, he is TyWilson13 on TikTok. He does tons of great theory videos, is always keeping you up to date on things that are happening in Taylor's world. And I just want to note, we are filming on Wednesday, March 6th. So we are kind of midway through the Singapore shows. She did some this past weekend, and then we are about to head into another round of shows in Singapore. So by the time this is released on Friday, March 8th, there may be some more happenings from the later half of Singapore. But I just wanted to timestamp that so you guys know exactly when we're filming, and we're really just covering the first three nights of Singapore on this episode. All right, Jesse. So Singapore, first half, part one. What are your thoughts? Anything initially that sticks out that's happened over the last week?
Okay. Well, we got a lot more mashups, which I don't think we're going to get a full song again. I think it's all just going to be mashups from here on out, because she's kind of set that expectation now.
She could do one here or there. Like, you know, she did, I think... Was it Red early on? She did like one, but like, yes, in any given set, mashups for the majority of them. And if she does a single song, that might actually be more significant.
Yeah. And I think that with the Tortured Poets Department, I think she's just going to do her surprise set. I think she'll stick one or two of those songs in there as she goes. I don't necessarily think she's going to add on another era for Tortured Poets for the tour anyway.
Mm-mm. No, I agree with that.
But okay, so night two, we got another variant.
Yes. And it kind of odd, right? Because the last two variant announcements were on night one. So I found it interesting that she waited until night two. I don't know if there's significance there. I mean, everything happens for a reason, let's be real. But I mean, any thoughts from your end?
I thought it was extremely weird because the first night she went live herself during the surprise song set. So. Mm-hmm. And she didn't do anything. So to me, that was either, oh, I'm going to change it at the last minute and I'm going to do it tomorrow, which is not what I think happened. I think that she wanted to get everyone's attention for the next night. So I could go live at any time, just, you know, be on the lookout, because the next night she went live again and she introduced the fourth and final variant, the Black Dog.
Yep. Wasn't there a website outage as well on that first night? I think the website, or at least the store, was down.
Yep. So she shut down the store right before the first show, and it lasted until the show was over. And then same thing with night two, but with night two, we got that second variant.
So one thing I want to talk about is with the website going down or the store going down, there were quite a few theories that came out about that. And there's a couple I want to just make sure we debunk. And I want to thank Megan, who I've actually shouted out before. But her handle is now Into the Swiftieverse, much easier than the last one she had, but Into the Swiftieverse. And she did a great job analyzing some of the really viral, you know, you hear one thing, another creator posted, and just kind of coming back to the source of where it all started. The website did have a password when it was down. And in like the top corner, I think you had to like click on something and it would prompt up a password. And one thing that she noticed was she had a bunch of different tabs up. And so people thought that they had guessed the password, but what was actually happening was they were submitting a password guess when the site went back up. And so what she did was she went through all of her open tabs and just submitted random stuff. And each time it was essentially just refreshing the page so that the site was back up. So if you saw anything about what the password was, just take that with a grain of salt, because it's very possible where that person got that was they were submitting it as something that they thought it might be right when the site was going back up. So it worked for them, but it wasn't necessarily the password. And then the other thing is in the website code, a lot of people noticed that it says 2 months from now. That is true. It does say that, but that is a Shopify code script about its cookies. So whenever you go to a site, it is going to grab your cookies and it will keep them. And I believe the 2 months from now is referencing how long it will store your cookie information. And so a lot of people saw that and thought, oh my God, 2 months from now, there's going to be something dropping. So just a couple things to debunk. Thank you, Megan, for making that really thorough video about it. And that's really all I got to say about the website down. So, Jesse, you want to kind of kick it off with your favorite surprise songs? Is that a good place to start here?
Yeah, let's get into the mashups. So far, we have had Mine and Starlight, I Don't Want to Live Forever, and Dress, Long Story Short, and The Story of Us, which is definitely, I think, a clue for her to have a story come out of some kind, a book. I would just kind of like keep that in the back of your mind. Clean and Evermore, Foolish One, and Tell Me Why, This Love, and Call It What You Want. So my favorite was Clean and Evermore. That, I mean, first of all, Clean is one of my favorite songs that she has. I mean, I know I say that all the time, but, you know, she does. And Evermore means a lot to me. So when she played that, and then it's a song about, you know, being clean and from whatever it is that you're battling, right? Any kind of demons. And then you pair that up with Evermore, which I associate directly with depression, postpartum depression. It just like the minute she started singing Evermore and had linked that together, I just like lost it.
Yeah. And you link it with your own postpartum depression, mm-hmm. correct? Not to be confused with a Taylor theory.
Right. No.
Yeah, well, and Clean to me is like the original It Girl. Like that was one of her early, like very vulnerable tracks, which we are gotten very accustomed to in the later years, especially as she's gone a lot more poetic with Folklore and Evermore. Clean, I mean, the lyrics of Clean are poetry. And very visual, you know, talking about the rain, you know, punching a hole in the ceiling and the rain pouring into the room and washing away. Like a lot of those kind of themes are very, very much part of who Taylor is and how she writes now. But yeah, Clean is an all time. That was one of the ones where when 1989 was re-recorded, I was most nervous for, because when she first recorded it, I think she did it in like 1 to 2 takes and that was it. And so I was like, how are they going to recreate that magic on the re-recorded 1989? But I think they did a great job.
Yeah, they did. Yep. What was your favorite mashup out of all those?
Well, I knew you would say clean and evermore, so I would like to take the other half of that night. Long story short is one of my favorite songs on Evermore. And yeah, I mean, long story short in the story of us, I'm sure you've got thoughts about the concept of story, but even just reading those titles, like the story of us looks a lot like a tragedy now. And long story short, your enemies will defeat themselves before you get the chance to swing. Like that could be pointing to a little bit of what we're kind of theorizing is going to come out with the Tortured Poets Department. So really great combo. And you know, she did a couple from Speak Now, didn't she? She did Foolish One, and there was a couple others, I feel like, over not just this past weekend, but even before. I feel like she's really highlighting some good Speak Now tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And once again, Lover's missing. Like, what the fuck happened? another set of song or another set of surprise sets where she did a ton of mashups, and I don't think we got a single Lover song here or in Melbourne.
Mm-mm. No, this love and call it what you want. Oh my God, that's worth a mention. I mean, that was stellar, that performance.
That confused me.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know why. I can't explain why it confused me.
You wouldn't think those two songs go together at all.
Yeah, and just like kind of given the state of what she's going through, and I know she doesn't always do surprise song sets based on like her mood or what she's going through. But yeah, like Call It What You Want is kind of like casual to me, like kind of early stages of a relationship. And this love is very much a love song. I don't know. It just, to me, I was like, they sounded great together. I just didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of mashup. It definitely mm-hmm. is.
One thing too to note, just something that made me think of, the Tortured Poets is Starlight. Like that was one of the early songs where she did kind of a narrative about somebody else's life, right? Wasn't it about like Ethel mm-hmm. Kennedy and yes. Bobby Kennedy? Yeah.
Yep.
And so that kind of stood out to me because when I think about Clara Bow, obviously a lot of people think of The Last Great American Dynasty and how she sang about Rebecca Harkness's life. But even before that, she had sang Starlight, which was about Ethel and Robert Kennedy. It's a pretty song. It's from Red. I really like it as a song. I don't really have much emotional tie to it, but it just stood out that she sang it to me.
Yeah. When she started dating Connor Kennedy, I think she only dated him for like 2 or 3 months, but, so Ethel, would have been his grandmother mm-hmm. and she wrote Starlight for Ethel. And that actually prompted me to do like, I think I have like a 6 or 7 part series on one of my playlists in my TikTok, and it's called The Kennedy Curse. So it just prompted me to do a bunch of research on them because people were asking me about Connor Kennedy.
Yeah.
So I went through and just did a bunch of research on the whole family and kind of got in deep with it because it is so interesting.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, super, super interesting. So catch Jesse on TikTok, Jesse Swift Talk, if you want to check out that series. How are you feeling about the black dog?
Well, I haven't. I mean, okay, the black dog. So let's start with this. The black dog so far is my absolute favorite artwork and favorite song title or variant title that we have. I mean, I just absolutely love it. The cover is gorgeous. It's all black, and she's like posing, very vulnerable pose with it. The black dog in general, I mean, it could mean so many things. At its core, I think it means depression. Mm-hmm. It's a symbol for depression. But like we've seen with, you know, the albatross and other things, like the albatross, its central theme is being a burden, right? So I've looked up so many things on the black dog. At its core, it's depression. There's a lot of English lore about superstitious, supernatural things surrounding the black dog. It's almost like they're like Sasquatch, if that makes sense. Like it's like
it
there's
does.
Been sightings and there's, you know, all this lore and folklore that surrounds it. And then there's several pubs called the Black Dog. So we would not be able to narrow it down to, oh, Joan Taylor went to this certain pub because they have several pubs named the Black Dog. What did you think?
Black dog. So I agree with you. After looking it up with the like English folklore, I actually think they called it folklore, which I thought was interesting. And yeah, when you said Sasquatch, that's so funny because I was in Seattle this weekend. One of my best friends got married. Shout out to Amy. And that's why I've been a little bit unplugged. And Sasquatch is pretty big up there in Washington. So it's just funny you said that. But anyway, so for me, this is not what, like, looking at it now, I don't actually think this is what she's referring to, but my initial thought was that black dogs are rumored to be the hardest to get adopted. My parents foster dogs, so it's just like something that is very familiar to me. They actually have 3 black dogs, well, 4 on any given day, because there's always a foster running around, but, you know, and it, I actually looked it up a little bit, and I actually think there's been studies that actually say the opposite, like it's kind of conflicting evidence. But when it comes to, you know, a dog being adopted or left in a shelter, a black dog is kind of the last to get chosen would be the concept, where when I was like, oh, black dog, maybe it's kind of like a black sheep, where the black sheep is the odd one out. And I was thinking the black dog is the one that's abandoned or isn't as loved or, you know, isn't as desirable. So again, I don't think that's it, because she calls it the black dog, and then the folklore is called the black dog, and it's a British folklore, and we've got Joe from Britain. So like, there's so many more things that I think are stronger, but just something to note and something that kind of stood out to me.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
With the black dog, I think that it could be many different things. I've researched a lot of different things that it could be, but it's very vague, I would say, the title. So it's not like the albatross, where we were able to dig in deep and find different things that related to Taylor. What I've read so far, I haven't had a lot of alarm bells go off as to, oh, this is what it could be about because this connects to Taylor. So you guys do your own research, read up on it. I found a lot of interesting stuff, but none of it really stuck out to me as like a red flag. This could be, you know, connected to Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, to your point, there's not a poem by a Lakes poet called The Black Dog that, you know, references swiftly, or, you know, all the different things we came up with on the last episode. If you haven't caught that last episode, guys, definitely go back and watch it. It's one of our best ones yet. I've gotten a ton of good feedback on it. And we had a lot of fun kind of going into the albatross. But yeah, I agree with you. That's why with the black dog, like, I did some initial research and I was like, this sticks. Like, I mean, it's probably about this, like you said, depression and kind of this one that's left out, and all of the themes are probably going to align with what the song is. But there's not like a ton to it beyond that we found.
It is the one I'm looking forward to hearing the most, surprisingly.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm drawn to it, but I'm just drawn to it.
Yeah, and one thing that Jesse and I kind of got into over the past week since we've last recorded, and I'll make a TikTok about this probably before this episode airs, but we were texting while I was at the airport, and I was like, do you think that the 3 different variants, which was only 3 at the time, obviously now we have 4 variants, but are they alternative endings? And I'm definitely feeling like that could be a possibility, because I was thinking about how the bonus track being on each of the variant and how it's different is really new. That's something that Taylor hasn't done before. And she's very big on a collection, right? So that's, you know, why I even think why she released the Midnight's 3 a.m. edition kind of separate, because Midnight's The Core is an album. Like, she wanted that to be what, you know, is really up for album of the year, and understanding that when you listen front to back, there is a complete collection. She's always been really big on that. So the idea that she has these 4 variants and each of them has a different song as a bonus track, she's named the variant after the bonus track and has really highlighted it as something for us to get excited about, versus kind of, I hate to say, like the last on the list, like Hits Different, for example, I believe was the Target exclusive for Midnight's. Great track. But I can see where that wasn't like, you know, her favorite song that needed to be on the album. And I feel like these are different. I don't know why. I just think like Albatross and The Bolter and The Manuscript and now The Black Dog, like there's some significance here. So my bet, if I was to hedge a bet here, is there may be something to different endings, and maybe they all represent a different type of ending. So if you guys hear this and you have thoughts, definitely comment on YouTube or go to our TikTok and leave comments, because I really feel as though that kind of goes into line with, if she's going to be an author, a lot of times there's book series with alternate endings. So I don't know. It's just something to kind of think on.
I, when we were texting, that brought me back, when you did bring that up, it brought me back to Cardigan and how there's a line in there, you know, tried to change the ending, Peter losing Wendy, not Peter leaving Wendy, Peter losing Wendy. And I think that's very significant to look at her choice of words. But yeah, it's Cardigan. I would go back and listen to that.
And to clarify further, Peter leaving Wendy was on the voice memo that she initially had sent Aaron Dessner. We know that because it was included in one of the vinyls that was released, like the original voice memos were released with it. And she said, tried to change the ending, Peter leaving Wendy. And then on the recorded version, tried to change the ending, Peter losing Wendy. And so she, in that song, changed the ending on us after that line. So there's, yeah, those are very different endings too. Peter leaving her and Peter losing her are opposite outcomes. So yeah, interesting.
Yep, it is. Okay, so in wrapping that up, let's move on to Emily Dickinson.
Yeah, what do you got here? I saw this on our notes and I'm like, huh, a little surprise snack for me too. What's going on?
Okay, so I have looked up Emily Dickinson before, just because I think it was a year or two ago, probably about two and a half years ago. I was watching Dickinson, and it's a show on, I believe, Hulu. I'm not sure which streaming service it's on, but anyway, there's a show called Dickinson, and it's all about Emily Dickinson, but it has like modern. Have you seen this?
No, not at all.
So it's about Emily Dickinson, but it's got a modern twist. So for instance, like an example, Emily Dickinson had an older brother and she had a younger sister. So when their parents went out of town for the weekend, they threw a party. So like what they had to use at the party was like opium syrup, because that was big back then. Like it wasn't like beer, you know what I mean? But it's definitely, it is very good. I'm watching it for the second time now, and it stars Hailee Steinfeld. So she's one of Taylor's friends. She does a fantastic job at playing Emily Dickinson. And it does go off of like actual historic things that happened in Emily's life. But
okay, I'm going to play dumb here. And I don't know if we've touched this yet. She's an American poet, right? Do we need to do a quick bio of who she is for, like, because I don't know if this is like a worldwide known thing.
Yeah, let me pull it up real quick. I know a lot about her, but just not like off the top of my head.
Yeah, like to me, I know that she's a poet, but like, when did she live? I didn't mean to cut you off. I believe
she's
from
Amherst, Massachusetts. Let me see. Okay, so Emily Dickinson was born on December 10th of 1830. So December 10th, 1830, Emily Dickinson was born. Same date that we got Evermore. So, yeah. She died on May 15th, 1886. She was an American poet. She is from Amherst, Massachusetts. She did get an education when most women were not getting education. She went to Amherst Academy. Her older brother was William Austin. They called him Austin, and Lavinia was her younger sister. But, they added this to Wikipedia, you guys. Okay, so they added Taylor Swift, sixth cousin, three times removed.
There's the secret.
Actually, onto Emily Dickinson's actual Wikipedia page, they added
Taylor Swift. Did you submit that edit? Was that you?
I did not. That's so funny, though, because the reason I bring up Emily Dickinson is it was reported that she is Taylor Swift's sixth cousin three times removed. And I know that Taylor said before she can trace her family back to the Mayflower.
Nice. Love that. Well, don't love that, actually. That's some pretty let's not even get into it.
And her dad, I know, is like one of his hobbies is, what is it, genealogy? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Family and stuff. Ancestry stuff,
yeah.
So the fact that she's Emily Dickinson's sixth cousin, I'm sure she knows this fact. We didn't know until just recently. But yeah, American poet. She was very much a recluse, so she never married. She was best friends with her brother's wife. Some historians think that they were in a relationship, her and her brother, her brother's wife, for several years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I guess that Emily's first poems after they were found after she died. So her housekeeper kept all of her poetry in this trunk. Okay. And she, I guess some family got a hold of it. They edited it heavily to take out some of the sapphic themes that she had in there. And then they published it. So nothing.
So she was not known as a poet while she was alive. It was like her letters after. Oh, interesting. I don't think I knew that, to be honest.
She had, I think, maybe one or two poems published, and they were published under a man's name while she was alive. Everything was, posthumous. I can't even say that. Well, how do you even say that?
I don't even know where you're headed. What vocabulary are you in?
Posthumously, it's like after someone
died. She died. Yeah, she post death.
There's a word for it, I swear.
It sounds right, but nobody would know if you said it anyway. So post death, she published her or her family published her poems. Interesting that they edited them too. I don't know if that will come into, remember like the concrete poetry. So for those who haven't seen, I did some TikToks a couple weeks ago about different types of poetry that Taylor might be using. And one of them being concrete poetry where actually, concrete was the one where the words are stylistically laid out on the page, and that way in which they're on the page adds to the poem's meaning. But erasure poetry was the one where you take like an existing work and you cut pieces out of it. And then like, let's say you had a black marker on a newspaper clipping and you darked out certain areas, the words that remain, if they make up a poem, that's erasure poetry. So I'm not saying that's what Emily Dickinson's poetry is, but when you bring up the idea that her family heavily edited it before posting, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, before publishing, because this was not 2024 and you didn't post shit to the internet back then, before publishing those poems. It's just interesting.
It is. She, you know what? I think that Taylor's team leaked this information, honestly, because it's just very interesting to me how we didn't know this until just now before she releases her first like works that she's actually calling poetry.
Yeah, no, very true. Like it runs in her family, it runs in her blood. I wonder if there will be a reference to it in a song, kind of like Marjorie, and obviously not a one-to-one because she's not going to have a whole song about Emily, but it's not the same relationship, but one of my coworkers is distant cousins of Taylor Swift as well. So shout out to Paige, and I will be following up with her to see if she's on the Emily Dickinson side.
Yeah. The reason I was talking about Dickinson and Hailee Steinfeld earlier is because I actually started watching the show because Taylor had a song in it. One of the last episodes has Ivy in it off mm-hmm. of Evermore.
Wait, the Ivy, the song that Taylor wrote mm-hmm. and sang, is featured in the show.
Yes, Dickinson.
Okay, remind me again. This show is on what?
I gotta look it up. Hold on.
Okay, I didn't know if you'd already said it.
I thought it was, I said Hulu, but let me see. It's so good. You should watch it. It is so good. Apple TV. It's on Apple TV. There's three seasons, and it stars Hailee Steinfeld, who is friends with Taylor. And one of the last episodes, they feature Ivy in it.
Interesting.
So, I do think more and more now, it's interesting what shows she's letting have her music. Like The Summer I Turned Pretty and Dickinson.
Yeah, this kind of IP type thing, right? Because that's intellectual property. And, you know, you think about, I mean, I even think about like the Barbie movie and like different different ways in which IP gets integrated into new mediums. So like Barbie's a doll and now it's a movie. So Taylor's music, like being in all of these movie trailers and in TV series, like it's very intentionally placed. It's not like every single tale or every single, you know, show is featuring songs. So I feel like the ones that do, since she does have kind of tight hold on her IP, are probably not selected, but just have special permissions, you know?
I definitely think that. And that just happened with the show You, and how, you know, Exile was in, you know, the scene where he's Joe, his name is burning the house down, and then he flees to England. And I mean, it's just so Taylor coded. And you go back and look and you can just see these themes. Now, I will note her brother, Taylor's brother, Austin, same name as Emily Dickinson's brother.
Yeah, noted that.
Yep, he is the one that's in charge of all of her licensing for her songs for movies and shows. So yeah. I think he does all the permissions and all of that, but you know Taylor's in on it.
Well, and that's why it's so important for artists to hold their masters and to have control over that, because I mean, I forget what artist it was, but I was listening to either a TikTok or maybe a podcast that was talking about this whole topic and how some of the biggest artists and songs are like being sold to like lotteries, you know, like they'll do like a themed lottery and it will be based on an artist or their song, and they don't have control over that. Like a lot of the songs that we probably hear in every damn Super Bowl commercial over the last 20 years, some of those like really well-known songs, you question if the labels just licensing it out and banking on those, or if the actual artist has control. And like any brand, you take any luxury brand that's been oversaturated, I can name a dozen right now, I won't call any out, but things that used to feel luxury, as soon as they start getting mass produced and placed into like a TJ Maxx or even like the outlet stores, like whenever a high end, hard to come by luxury brand becomes mainstream, it cheapens it a little bit. And that's not my own perception. That's just, I don't mean to say it's cheap once you buy it, because that's not necessarily true, but the oversaturation of product can feel different. And so I think that's where, when Taylor isn't on every Super Bowl commercial and her music's not being used by a lottery or, you know, all the different ways in which IP can be like oversaturated, it keeps it in a place where it is more luxury and unique.
Yeah, it means something, you know? Definitely. Okay, so from Emily Dickinson to Jason Kelsey.
Whiplash, let's go.
Okay, so it was announced this week that Jason Kelsey, Travis Kelsey's brother, and we all know she's dating Travis Kelsey. So Jason has played 13 seasons for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he is definitely, protect this man at all costs, just a national treasure. He did
an international treasure. Let's be real.
International treasure, Jason Kelsey. And he actually retired. He announced his retirement, and it was yesterday for us that he announced it.
Yeah, it was via a press conference. If this doesn't feel like new news, not to pun on the podcast that Jason and Travis do, new news. But the announcement was not formal and official until he came out and did the press conference, even though there was tons of speculation and lots of legitimate sources coming out and saying he was retiring. Yesterday, when he did that press conference, is his coming forth and saying, nope, this is official. Unless he's like Tom Brady and he just is going to take it back in 6 months. But we don't think that's going to happen.
No. He definitely had I watched the whole thing. His speech was very long because he was so emotional trying to get through it. It was very hard for him to get through. I'd say at the end of the day, his speech was about an hour and close to 40 minutes long.
It was 41 minutes, because I start my workday at 8 a.m. Central Time, and I just happened to turn it on this morning knowing we were going to be filming for the podcast, and I started my day at 8:02 because I was just watching the time. Not that my job's that rigid, but it was long, very long, and to your point, a lot of it was emotion. One thing that really stood out to me was while he cried and took his time. He never once apologized for being emotional. I saw a YouTube comment, so I'm not going to take credit for that thought. There was one of the top comments on YouTube said that, and I was like, fuck, that's crazy and very, very strong of a message.
It is. I actually noticed that as I was watching it. He never apologized for, oh my God, I'm crying. You know, I'm so sorry. I got to get through this. Never, not once. And he did take his time. Like, it was awkward silences, awkward pauses, and he didn't say a thing. He just like gathered himself, composed himself. And I, as someone who has three boys, I think that his, you know, mom and dad, that had to have started there. I mean, I think his dad is an emotional guy. It's good to show that. Travis was crying throughout the whole conference. I mean, it's good that you're seeing men and men's men, I should say, who are in, you know, the NFL crying and not apologizing for it.
Yeah, men who other men idolize. When you say men's men, it's they play a sport that is very much looked up to by boys, young boys and men. And yeah, it's a good example that they're setting. And I also think there are tons of men out there, our husbands included, who are emotionally available and not afraid to show emotion. I think in pop culture, though, and amongst the media, it's really not that present. And so it's only going to create newer generations of young boys who feel free to express emotions, because I think that's where a lot of men grow up with the feeling of suppression and not being able to speak as openly about how they're feeling like women do. But we're the crazy ones, right? And, you know, yeah. But no, I won't even get into that. That's the sidebar. But yeah, very emotional.
And this is showing you like the phenomenon of the Swiftie universe, right? Because this is not something I ever would have been interested in a year ago. And now I know who the Philadelphia Eagles are. I know what they're all about. I know Jason Kelce. I'm sitting here watching his retirement speech crying. Like, that's not – you don't see this happen this often where there's, like, a crossover in the fandoms. And so many people are interested now just in Travis Kelce's brother. I don't know. I think he did give some nods to the Swifties that were kind of like on his bandwagon late. He did mention Wildest Dreams and All Too Well. Those were the two I picked up on. And I think that he did that on purpose, for sure. For sure, he left that in there kind of like as an ICU to the Swifties.
Yeah, the All Too Well stood out to me. I'm not sure when he said Wildest Dreams, but when he said All Too Well, it definitely did not just slip in. Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely never imagined that on a Wednesday morning I would turn on YouTube and watch a grown-ass man cry in a press conference about retiring before the 8 a.m. hour. Right. So, yeah, things are different now.
Things are different. I mean, they're just – it's wild to me how the fan bases have been crossing over, and it's such a good thing. Shout out to Ray on TikTok. She did a video about this and how he kind of sprinkled in the names of the Taylor Swift songs. And she got a bunch of shit for it, like a lot of shit for it.
And I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's not all about Taylor.
Make everything. And I'm just sitting here like, he did, though. Like, he did put that in there on purpose. Like, both.
He's a Swiftie.
Yeah.
And he's also a media man.
Yeah.
He understands how to get that. Not to say that he was doing it for media attention, but like, of course he knows sprinkling a lyric or two in is going to get us excited. And I mean, he's the one who on their podcast is asking the questions we want to hear to Travis, you know, like he's part of it. And I do think that's definitely a risky thing. I was actually looking in the YouTube comments to see if like somebody had called out Taylor, and I'm like, yeah, everything doesn't have to be about Taylor, but like, we live in the world where, yeah, everything can be.
Yeah. And that was definitely sprinkled in there for the Swifties. I mean, Jason and Travis's podcast would not be as popular as it is if it weren't for the Swifties. Guaranteed, 100%. I mean, they have Swifties now listening to their podcast. Their podcast is like number one all over. That's from the Swifties.
Yeah, I think it was already pretty successful, but it has just gotten to a place of monumental success, right? Because, I mean, most of those videos have hundreds of thousands, if not a million plus views. And Jesse and I are just happy to get a few hundred. So mm-hmm. we appreciate you guys who are following us and watching our YouTubes. YouTubes, did I just make that plural?
Yeah.
Our YouTube videos. But yeah, I mean, I've been very impressed with, you know, the engagement and stuff that we've gotten. But for them, that's an unbelievable amount of clout and fan base that they're seeing. And that definitely goes beyond just traditional sports fans.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'll put this prediction on here. My husband thinks that Jason should have a show kind of like, I don't know if anyone's seen Anthony Bourdain and No Reservations on how he reports, you know, he reported on different cultures and food and stuff. We thought it would be interesting if Jason did a show where he went to the different tailgating football games and
kind of, my God.
Yeah. And like kind of, you know, saw what they were doing, like when he's jumping on the table that's on fire and he's, you know, everyone loves Jason Kelce, like even if you're on another team. And if he went and tailgated and kind of like reported on and showed the culture of the different football teams,
the traditions, mm-hmm. the weird shit,
that would be perfect for him.
Yeah, the local bars that like are, you know, although I don't know if people really want to share their hotspots to the to, you know, tourism, but I think that's a great thing. So yeah, whenever that becomes reality, we'll air this and then sue their asses. No, I'm just kidding.
No, call me Jason Kelce. I've got some ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got ideas. Well, good. Anything else with his speech? I mean, obviously, when he mentioned Kylie, that was emotional. I think his love for his wife and his undeniable, just hands down, gives her all the props in the world, is another good way in which he sets a good example for men. Mm-hmm. It's not shameful to highlight your wife. And he is very, 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 very successful. But for him to say that, like, she is the reason, not the reason, but once she came into his life, he got all of the accolades and he became more successful is great. And I think that really ties to why Travis, you know, really has the same kind of themes with propping up Taylor and all of her success and glory and not feeling threatened by it and not feeling like her being so big makes him any smaller, the smallest man that ever lived. Shout out to the Tortured Poets Department track. We don't know where that's coming from, but or where it's going, but yeah.
Yeah. And kind of as a segue, I guess, into Travis, there wasn't a whole lot of Travis news this week other than just being there for Jason, but as of today, which is Wednesday, he is on a flight as we speak to Singapore, which I did not think he was going to go to Singapore, but it looks like he's going to catch her remaining shows in Singapore, which will be kind of interesting.
Yeah, you know, I actually was watching back the surprise songs ahead of recording this. And when she sang Call It What You Want, which was part of the very last surprise song that she did in this kind of mini break that she's having while in Singapore, it's my baby's high like a jet stream. Oh, high like the whole, what is it? Jet stream. Anyway, I was like, oh, he's flying there now. That's, yeah, what is it?
Fly above the whole scene. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that was her cluing that Travis is on his way. I really don't think so, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Maybe.
But yeah, that's about it. Other than Travis saying on the podcast that, you know, him and Jason were talking about Sydney and how those weren't drones over their heads. It was actual helicopters that were over their heads at the zoo.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Love that. Love that for the animals. I'm sure PETA would love that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy.
So another thing that's happened this week that we definitely want to talk about is the Eras Tour film release. So it is coming out on Disney Plus. And what was the original date and time? It was March 15th at midnight, or like the midnight, the 14th going into the 15th Eastern time?
Yes. And what she did was she put out a statement where she said she's going to release it a few hours early, which is making everybody spiral because the 15th, it comes out and that's a Friday. So yep. Releasing it like 3 hours before midnight on Thursday, what's going to happen at midnight? it's just making everybody spiral.
Yes. And what was interesting was in her post, she referenced 6 p.m. Pacific time. Taylor Nation, when they posted, put 9 p.m. Eastern time. So 9 p.m. Eastern time, usually Eastern time is what Taylor references. So when she says midnight, that is midnight U.S. Eastern time. So her saying 6 p.m. Pacific time, I know a lot of people are like, is it a rep, you know, code with it being 6? Why the hell is she doing Pacific time? Just, it's just not normal for her. It's actually not that normal, honestly, in the U.S. At least I'm from Central, like we're both in Central time. So like if we're seeing something that's like nationally televised, they're usually going to do Eastern time.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know why she would do that. Other than, is there going to be an announcement at the end or?
Well, and I thought that, but then like, couldn't you just fast forward directly to the end? Like if it's Disney Plus, unless the first run through isn't fast forwardable. I don't know if that's a word, fast forwardable.
Maybe.
You know, kind of like if you watch something live on YouTube, you can set it as a YouTube premiere. It's like a setting when you go to post and then people watch it live. And I don't think you can fast forward when you do that. So maybe there's a Disney Plus feature where when we turn it on, the first run through won't be you won't be able to skip ahead. And if that's the case, then fucking block my schedule because I will be on that. And I can't think of anything else. I was trying to think, like, is there with Disney Plus, is she trying to set records? And I'm like, not really. Like, I can't imagine why it would benefit her to release a few hours on the 14th.
I don't know. Yeah. I know the 15th is the Ides of March. So I know that that was kind of big that, you know, everyone's kind of been speculating a little bit about that. The Ides of March was when they had the assassination of Julius Caesar. So, yeah, it's kind of like known as this kind of ominous time frame.
Well, and like Et tu, Brute is very common in some of the rep stuff. There's like a pillow on one of her commercials she did that said that. And then it's also on a column in the Look What You Made Me Do music video. I've done a whole video. It's like an 8-minute long, just me talking, giving you everything in one video on my TikTok about Cleopatra and the fall of the Roman Empire and all of the ways in which Taylor referenced that during the rep era. So the Ides of March is interesting. 314 is Pi Day.
You know what? Something could be coming.
You're thinking rep.
I'm thinking now, I'm kind of wondering, yeah, is there something coming? Is she just going to drop rep? And if she did, that would be the perfect day.
Yeah. Well, and maybe it's the rep stadium tour too. That was other people's thought, is maybe both are going to appear on Disney Plus, and that would be very, I think that would be the right size of what we could expect. Like, it's kind of like when we've like clowned on things and then it's a merch drop and you're like, oh, it's just a merch drop. But it's like, you know, a merch drop, or I mean, the rep stadium tour coming to streaming again is bigger than a merch drop, but I don't think she's dropping an album or announcing rep anytime soon. I think she's going to get through the Tortured Poets release and the initial like press of it all before she, you know, shifts the focus away from it.
And that's what my logical part of my brain is thinking, but and then my clowning brain is like, oh my God, is she going to drop, you know, rep just randomly?
Yeah,
doubt it.
I don't know.
I mean,
we'll see. But with the release on Disney Plus, the rep stadium tour, the Ides of March, I'm walking myself backwards. 3:15. Oh, another thought I had just surrounding the time. And this is me just being very selfish and hopeful. What if she stops doing this midnight bullshit to us and is like, you know what? I'm going to start releasing at 9 p.m.
Yeah. You mean like on Thursdays?
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't make sense because then her release date wouldn't make sense. Like, you know, she always says the release date and then you get it the second it becomes that release date. But I just know so many people, especially those of us in our mid-30s, are just like, we can't do that. Like, there have been so many album releases where I'm like Red Bulling it at like 7 or 8 p.m. just to get through.
And speaking of album releases, the day this airs on Friday, Jack Antonoff, his new album with Bleachers will be out. So definitely check that out.
Anything you're excited about there? Like any songs or clues?
I'm just excited about the album as a whole, I mean, I love Bleachers. So we've seen them before. We're going to see them again. And I mean, Jack Antonoff's a genius, but he's got a couple singles out from it already. Just released a new one, Tiny Moves. And yeah, it's really good so far. So I'm interested to see what it's all about.
Yeah. I think that's great. So when you're done with this podcast, if you haven't listened to every single episode of TSPN, please go back and listen to every single one and then go listen to the Bleachers album. But if you're all caught up, then that's your next stop. I'm just kidding. We're not that crazy. what else we got? We want to move on to the next topic?
Yeah. So as a correction from last time, we were talking about the iHeartRadio Music Awards and how Taylor normally attends, but those aren't until April 1st. So I believe she'll be on break.
Yeah, we were thinking, or maybe you were, I like March 1st maybe, yeah. And now we're looking up, it's April 1st. So the thought was initially that she wouldn't be attending, even though she usually does, because of Singapore. But now that's back into the pool of opportunity. So we'll kind of put a pin in it because we still got about a month until that happens. But I just wanted to make sure we correct that since we did misspeak.
And after Singapore, she will be on vacation. She'll be on vacation from touring for, I think, about two months.
When you say vacation, is she going on like a trip?
No.
Like to?
So, okay. So after Singapore, she'll be on break from touring for about 2 months. And during that time, we've had some rumors floating around that her and Travis could show up to the Met Gala on May 6th. What do you think about that, if that was their red carpet debut? They both love fashion.
Good God. I have so many thoughts, especially because one of her most iconic Met Gala attendances was during the post-1989 era when she bleached her hair in 2016, the Bleachella. She showed up in that like silvery looking thing. And even during the time, wasn't she? She was talking about like Martians a lot. Like I think during the... 73 questions with Vogue interview, she was like, oh, I really like the movie The Martian.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, she's showing up like a little alien. And that was the night that she danced with Tom Hiddleston and allegedly met Joe, correct?
So she met Joe the night before at the Met Gala dinner at Anna Wintour's house. And then, yeah, I believe, I mean, she probably saw him at the Met Gala, but the Met Gala was where she met and started seeing, yeah, Hiddleston. That was the night that birthed Getaway Car. That's the night Getaway Car was written about. The first, you know.
Because Tom Hiddleston was the Getaway Car, right? Like she was in the relationship with Calvin Harris.
Yeah.
She needed a reason to leave him. She found Mr. Hiddleston, and then in the song, she sings about how, what did you expect? Basically saying, I used you to get out of relationships. So of course, I put the money in the bag and took the keys. That was the last time you ever saw me.
And how she placed, you know what? I was like, it was like this year that I realized that was the place where you first met me, that she put Met in there, like as in Met Gala. And I just realized that this year. That's so clever.
Yeah, I haven't thought of that. What about X marks the spot?
X marks
what the spot. What does that mean?
Where we fell apart. Poison the well. So I knew it from the first old fashioned we were cursed. I don't know what X is. I want to
know. Yeah, we got to figure that out. Yeah, if anyone has thoughts, definitely put them in our comments.
Yeah.
But there is a – like, I'm not ready to get away from Getaway Car real quick, because in the Reputation Stadium Tour, there was a poem that she read right before she sang Getaway Car, if you recall. And if you guys don't, look it up on YouTube. I know there's probably people who have pirated it. Hopefully, if she does come back out with the Reputation Stadium Tour on streaming, you can also see it. But that was one that I looked up recently, just knowing that she's into this whole poetry theme with the new album. And I don't recall anything being like plain as day. It was one of those where I'm like, okay, I'm going to clock this and come back for clues later. But that is just something to note from Reputation being, you know, a poem that she read on tour.
Yeah. Definitely. I didn't even think about that. I'm going to have to go back to that.
Yeah. Like I said, nothing obvious like that really sent me down a rabbit hole, but there might be stuff that I missed. But getaway car, Tom Hiddleston. Oh, the Met Gala. Let's bring it back. So that is my thought, is that the Met Gala is very infamous for a different period of her life. And so what a crazy thing would it be for her to show up with Travis? I don't think there's like bigger meaning to it. It would be great, honestly.
Well, now that I think about it, the first time we saw them out and about as like a couple in public were the pictures where he said the getaway car when she was in his car and they went on that date in Kansas City. So now I'm kind of spiraling in my mind, like, oh my God, are they going to show up to the Met Gala? I could see it.
Oh, yeah. I could definitely see it. He is made for that. He dresses goofy, which means he's fashionable. If I think you look like a goofy motherfucker, then you are doing something fashionable. I think it's so funny to see, especially the Chiefs. I'm sure every NFL team does this where they post the players when they're walking off the plane. But if you go to the Chiefs official Instagram, some of those posts that they did like pre-games of all of the players, not just Travis. I'm like, this is better than New York Fashion Week. Like these men dress well, and it's like not all of it is conventional, like what I would think a man's fashion would be, but they just look slick as hell. And
except for Jason.
Jason, that's why we love Jason though. Mm-hmm. Like that is what makes Jason like our the king of our hearts, because he is absolutely like the most relatable.
He doesn't give a shit. No. He actually reminds me of my husband's best friend.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say your husband and then you said best friend. I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have any thoughts on the Met Gala before we move on? Anything that you're kind of thinking or predicting? Do we know what the theme is as well?
Yeah, we do. Let me look it up. Okay, so I think I'm just trying to think what would be a big stage for her and Travis to publicly on a red carpet, like be seen together for the first time. Because
yeah,
we've seen them. It's a big one. We haven't made a public statement as like stepping out on a red carpet together. She's actually never stepped out on a red carpet with a significant other ever. So this would be huge if she did. And I could see it being the Met Gala, especially with the history.
Well, and it would have been the Grammys, right? He couldn't attend with him going to the Super Bowl and them having press that week. So I do agree with you that this is probably second best, because they're not going to show up to the, you know, Teen Choice Awards. Like that's not going to be her first time showing up, to your point. That's a monumental moment. And yeah, maybe this will be it.
Yeah. I'm going to see. So every year the Met has somebody that like hosts. There was, I can't remember who it was last year, but I think the year before was Blake Lively.
Oh, yeah. The year before was Blake Lively, which is Taylor's best friend. And she looked fly. I remember her looking beautiful.
Oh, God. Yes. And she had like the Statue of Liberty looking dress. And then she unveiled it to look like a different dress on the stairs.
It was like a transition.
Yeah. Okay. So this year's theme for the Met Gala is Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion.
What the fuck? I'm sorry. I'm just not a fashion girly.
No, the official dress code is the Garden of Time. That's interesting.
Like the clocks?
Yes. So to get into it even deeper, it's shaped around three main zones: land, sea, and sky that pay tribute to the natural world. It is very much an ode to nature and the emotional poetics of fashion. Yeah, I can see her being there.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, she is the muse for a lot of things as of late. She is capitalism at its finest right now. And no, that I shouldn't say that. She's not bad capitalism, but she's, you know, she is the a lot of people are utilizing her lift in their own ways. And so I could absolutely see her being the muse for this theme, especially since Anna Wintour, who hosts it, is not ignorant to celebrity and what is popular. Interesting. It almost makes me think, I need to look at this, but the Spotify Global Artist of the Year, which Taylor won around like December of 2023, there was a bunch of photos and just different things that came out with that. And the one where it's like the Taylor universe, you've got definitely the sky and land. I'm not sure if there's sea in that.
Yeah, I think there was. That's interesting. Yeah, it's hosted this year by Zendaya, Jennifer Lopez, Bad Bunny, and Chris Hemsworth.
Okay.
And you can catch it on, I always live stream it through the Vogue website.
No, oh, I always catch it the next day. Obviously, I will watch it this year if Taylor's there, but I always catch it the next day. There are some really great TikTok accounts that go through the fashion in the most relatable way possible. And so big events like this, I love, because that's how I like to really take in fashion is afterwards through somebody else's perspective and telling of what it means.
Yeah. All right, so one thing I want to touch on is the February giveaway, which was an exact replica of the hat that Taylor wore to one of the Chiefs games. Our friend Beth Moss makes these and sells them on Etsy. She sent Jesse and I one and then was super kind and sent an extra for us to use as a giveaway. So for the month of February, we had a form on our site where you could go to enter to win the free hat. So we did choose a winner. It was completely random. And so we will be emailing Samantha here in a bit. But the winner is Samantha Edwards. And so, Samantha, thank you for following us on TikTok and being a subscriber on YouTube. And so we will be reaching out to her and coordinating being able to send her the free hat. Okay. So I did want to touch on my Easter eggs in, you know, the background or something I'm wearing. We haven't had a whole lot of traction, a lot of guesses on that. So I think I'm going to stop doing that. Also, I'm running out of ideas. But the last, I will tell you guys what the Easter eggs were for the last four shows. So the last show was the brick behind me that I turned. It says TSPN on the other side, and that's what it's been for all the shows. But this last episode, I turned it to see all the Taylors.
Love that.
The one before that was a Mirabelle friendship bracelet. The episode before that was a Taylor's children's book, the Golden Book. I had the Golden Book out. And then the one before that was the lipstick that she wore in Bejeweled.
Yep. Honestly, the guesses were so creative, too.
So good. Like, the ones that we got were so good. Like, better than my ideas for the Easter eggs.
Yes, yes. And it's a lot. These episodes come and go so quickly. Like, our weeks are flying by. So, super fun. But we just want to formally announce, I'm going to close the form on the site. There are no Easter eggs on today's episode. And you know what? Maybe we'll reintroduce it in the future.
Yeah.
So the other thing that we do have on our site that will remain open is Surprise Song Bingo. So I know we're kind of capping the end of the Singapore shows, and then she is going to have some time off while we release Tortured Poets Department. I just said we, like this is me involved while she does that. And we've got a couple guests we've been talking about bringing on during that time. So definitely continue to tune in. Very excited about some of the things that Jesse and I have planned. I think for us, we've been wanting to do content that's a little more evergreen. We've talked about Swiftie 101. There's tons of things that we can talk about. And Taylor has just been feeding new thing, new thing, new thing. And so it's been fun to do these episodes that are very reactionary. But we do want to start, you know, using some of this time as much as we can to also go further back into Swiftie lore. So I don't know where I got off track, but we're talking about Surprise Song Bingo. So that form is open. You can go online if you haven't heard yet. There are 24 questions, and it's basically just fill in the blank. It's not really questions, but you can put 24 surprise songs in, and it will populate a bingo card for you, and then you can check them off as she's singing them. No rules, no limits. It's not like you have to do it for a certain number of shows. Like, it's basically a generator. Make them with your friends. Decide your own rules. Maybe if you want to do the remainder of the tour after she starts back up. But that is available. And also, would love for you guys, when you make your cards, if you want to post them and tag TS Pod Network, that is our handle on Instagram, on Twitter, or X, whatever it's called now, on YouTube. That's our handle on TikTok. So definitely share and tag us. We love seeing that stuff. And that helps promote the podcast, right? Because we've got it branded, and it is absolutely just a free opportunity for us to give you guys a really fun tool and use it to your discretion, use it as much as you want, and tag us.
Yep. Also, coming in hot with those 5-star reviews, guys. That helps us more than you know, is if you take a little time out and give us a 5-star review. Been loving all the comments lately. I read every single one. I try to respond to every single one. You guys are amazing.
Yeah, the engagement we're getting on our videos is incredible. Like, I'm gonna start crying again. If why don't you guys comment if the sap shows too much and we'll stop? But I just can't get over how much activity we've been getting and how much love. And I did post the last episode a little late. I just could not. I could not make it until I usually post around like 1 or 2 a.m. Central Time. And by the time I wake up, we've got, you know, maybe 80 to 100 views or listens across the different networks. And I just couldn't do it. And I told myself there are going to be international listeners who are waiting. And then I talked myself out of that because I'm like, you're not that busy. You know, people don't really care that much. And so I took a little nappy nap from midnight to 3 a.m. And when I woke up, we had a listener out of Spain who had messaged us on TikTok, and she was so sweet. She wasn't like, where the hell's my episode? She was like, you know, I missed it during my morning coffee. And so shout out for that. And you guys, that kind of stuff, we just love it. It really motivates us and keeps us excited to continue to do this. And it is for you. So thank you.
I think it's worth noting that we're consistently going to be here for you guys every Friday morning. Like,
yes. Yeah. Like, we're not going to all of a sudden take a 3-month break. If anything, we want to do more. And that's where we've been talking a little bit about how to fit that in with our busy lives and schedules. So as much as you can help us promote this and grow it, the more income we can get from it. And when I say more than zero, because that's where we're at right now. But, you know, that will allow us the freedom and flexibility to be able to put more towards this as far as our other hobbies and jobs go.
Yep. And we have lists of information for you guys. I mean, tons of stuff we want to cover.
Exactly. So, well, on that note, we're really excited for Taylor to finish in Singapore. So by the time you're listening to this, there's probably been a show or two, depending on when you catch us. And we will definitely be back next week to recap that. There may be some hip hop and happenings with Tortured Poets Department, hopefully, that we can cover. And we hope that you guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And we will see you next week. Bye.